about the end times, but I want to talk about the signs of the times. And you know, this is really a vast subject, and I just want to give you a disclaimer right from the start. The last time I preached this, it took me 22 lessons, 22 hours. And so tonight, unless you've got 22 hours to spare, I'm going to keep it short. And don't be coming up to me and saying, you forgot to say this and you forgot to say that. If you want to stay 22 hours, I'll say all that. But other than that, there will be things that we'll leave out. Is that okay? Glory to God. Look with me in your Bible in Matthew chapter 24. I want to talk for a few minutes about the signs of the times. Not necessarily the end times per se, but the signs. And you know, the signs of the times is something that we look at and we look out for to find out where we are in time, to find out when the second coming of Jesus is going to be. And you know, many unbelievers even are looking at the signs of the times at the moment. They're looking at some of the things that are going on in the world. And some of the things that are going on in the world at the moment are just crazy. Some crazy, crazy, crazy stuff going on in the world. And we're going to look at them and we're going to see what the Bible has to say about them. Many people today are wondering what's happening with all these disasters, with wars, with worldwide economic loss, animal deaths, general degradation in society. But you know what? The Bible has the answer. The Bible has a lot to say about them. And these really are the signs that the end of the world is close. But I want to take you back for a minute to Matthew chapter 4. And we want to talk about what Jesus said about it. Because, you know, Jesus had a lot to say about it. And one day when he was talking to his disciples, he was telling them about the end of the world. And so they asked him, they said, how are we going to know? How are we going to know when the end is coming? And this is what he says here in Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to read from verse 3. It says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. These are the signs. So the first one here, he says, is that people are going to come claiming to be Christ. Then he says in verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilences or worldwide diseases, earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Look, just look down with me in verse 33. He said, so likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. You know, one of the things that Jesus said that we quote quite often, Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. And we're not into time setting, we're not into date setting. But you know, Jesus gave this list of things that was going to happen, wars, rumors of wars, nations rising against nations, famines, earthquakes, great diseases, false prophets, all these different things. And he says, when you see these things, he said, know that it is near, even at the door. And so we can see all these things, every one of them. There's not one of those things that we listed that we don't see in our world today. And so that we know that the end is near. We know that there's a day coming when Jesus Christ is going to come back for his church. And so these Bible signs, never before in all history have all these Bible signs come together like they have today. And we're going to talk about some different signs as well in a moment. there's so many of them, and they're all coming together, and they're only really being fulfilled in this generation. Never before in history have we seen them all coming together like we're seeing today. And this shows us that we are the final generation before the return of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 34, we read verse 33. We'll read 33 again. So likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. And verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things are fulfilled. And he says in verse 33, it says, when you see all these things happening, he says, you know the end is near, and the generation that sees all these happening will not pass away before they're all fulfilled. That means that when we see them in our generation will not pass before all these things are fulfilled. But you know, I know maybe some of you are here tonight and you think that's a scary thing, but in actual fact, it's not. I mean, what is it that we're living for? What is it that we're believing for? And for those of us who are Christians, for those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, how many of you are waiting for Jesus' return? How many of you are waiting for the day that we step off this planet and we go and spend eternity with Jesus? Why would we be concerned then? Because Jesus is coming. We should be rejoicing that Jesus is coming. The only problem is all the tribulation that's going on in the world at the moment. So much chaos, so much hatred, so much bloodshed, all the different things that's going on at the moment. But for us as Christians, for us as believers, we're actually going to see the very thing that we're believing for, Jesus Christ, is going to come back and take us to be with him forever. And that's what we're believing for anyway. So there's so many signs today that point to the coming of Jesus. And you will see without doubt as we go through these things that we're actually living in the last days. I want to turn you firstly back to the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2, because I want to talk about it was actually Nebuchadnezzar's vision. Nebuchadnezzar had a vision. And in his vision, he saw a great statue. We're going to talk about that statue in a moment. But this statue represented the kingdoms of the world from the time of Daniel right up till the very end, or from the time of Nebuchadnezzar, if you like, right up to the very end. And I want to read you these scriptures here from Daniel chapter 2. And as we said, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he went to his sorcerers and his wizards, and he asked them to interpret the dream for them, and none of them could. And so what he did was he went and found Daniel, a man of God, and he said to Daniel, interpret the dream for me. And Daniel says, I can't interpret the dream for you, I'm only a man, but God can interpret the dream. And so he asked God for the interpretation, and God gave it to him, the interpretation of the dream and what it meant. And let's just read through this. Daniel chapter 2 and beginning in verse 31. And he's talking to King Nebuchadnezzar. He says, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible. And the image's head was of fine gold, his chest and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. You saw until a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And then Daniel said, this is the dream, and I will tell you the interpretation before the king. Thou, O king, art the king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand and made thee ruler over them. You are this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass after this. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. And so King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and in his dream he saw a huge statue. And this huge statue had a head of gold. It had a chest and arms of silver. It had a waist and thighs of brass. And then it had legs of iron, and then feet made with iron and clay. And what this actually represented, it represented the world rulers from the days of Nebuchadnezzar up until the present. And if you see here, he says of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold, or Babylon. And he says, you are the great king. You are the greatest king that has ever ruled the world. And he was that head of gold. And he lived from 605 BC to 439 BC. And after he died, the kings of Persia came in. And the Persian Empire came in and took over Babylon and became the world ruler under King Cyrus. King Cyrus and Persia came, and they became the world ruler from 539 until 331. And after that came Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great was from the Greek Empire. And they came and they took over the world, and they were the world rulers from 331 to 168. And after that were the legs of iron, which was Rome. And the Roman Empire came and ruled in the days of Jesus Christ. But you know what happened with the Roman Empire? The Roman Empire split into two. That's why there were two legs. They split into two. You had the Eastern Roman Empire and the Western Roman Empire. And nobody ever defeated them. They just disappeared. They just went on, and it just got gradually weaker and weaker and weaker until they disappeared. But nobody ever defeated them. But there will be a revisiting of the Roman Empire in the last days, because the feet will be of iron and clay. And that's probably talking about Europe. It's probably talking about Europe, because the countries that are in the European Union at the moment are the same countries that were in the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire never went anywhere. And so there will probably be a resurgence of the Roman Empire, which will in fact be Europe. And you see that feet of iron and clay is from AD 476 until the present. And one of the things that it talks about is the 10 toes. And the 10 toes will probably be 10 regions that are set up in the last days. We don't see that just yet. I think there's about 27 or 28 countries in the European Union, but they will probably be formed into 10 regions. But then it says that there was a rock going to be carved out of a mountain without human hands. And it said that that rock will be Christ, or the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God will come in the last days. It will destroy all these other kingdoms. It will grow until it consumes the whole world. And the kingdom of God will rule once again on the earth. And we know that to be the millennial kingdom. So that was Nebuchadnezzar's vision here. But you know where we are at the moment? We are in that last part here, the feet of iron and clay, the divided kingdom from AD 476 until the present. And so this was the last kingdom. And this last kingdom, we have been in it for 1,500 years. And so we have been in the last days for the last 1,500 years. Well, if we've been in them for the last 1,500 years, how many of you know that we're in the last of the last days? If they started 1,500 years ago in 476 AD, then we must be close at the moment. But what we're waiting for is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see all these kingdoms, but the kingdom of God will come and he will defeat them all. So we've been in this for the last 1,500 years. But you know what we see during this last age is we see tremendous conflict and wars right across the globe. Disaster after disaster unfolds upon the nations. Constantly reading of disasters, and I'll talk to you about some of them a little bit later. Economies collapsing around the world. The latest one we've seen was Greece, and Greece had to get another bailout about a month or 6 weeks ago. Economies collapsing around the world. Animal life is diseased and dying. I'll talk to you about that a little bit later. The amount of animals that are dying around the world is unreal. You know, one of the things that we rely on, and we'll talk about this a little later, but one of the things that we rely on for our food is the bees. Because it's the bees that cross-pollinate all the plants. And something like 90% of the food that we grow is actually pollinated by the bees. But they reckon that the bee population on the planet has halved in the last 15 or 20 years. All the bees dying off. If the bees die off, there will be nothing left to pollinate the plants. And so there'll be no food. There'll be food shortages. And it's amazing what's going on. You'll find all this stuff. You can just look them up on the internet. There's all the different catastrophes that are going on around the world. There's actually whole websites that are geared around showing us all the different disasters that are going on. So animal life is diseased and dying, and wickedness and sin is rampant. And no more in our day than in other generations, sin and wickedness is rampant on the earth. And so here's a question for you. Do you have eyes to see what's going on in the world around about us at the moment? All these things that Jesus talked about, every one of them, we can see them being fulfilled. But you know, he told his disciples 2,000 years ago, he said, the generation that sees all these things start to come to pass will be the last generation. And we're seeing them all come to pass in our generation. We're seeing them all come to pass in our lifetime, such as has never been seen before on the planet. It's amazing the things that we see, and I'm just going to go through some of them in a few moments. But here's the question. Can you see the things that are going on? And the answer to this is, God is giving us plenty of warning. He has given the world plenty of warning. And I talk to people who are not Christians, and when I talk about not Christians, not like we understand it. And you talk to people, and the majority of people in the world, they know something is wrong. They know something is up. They know that the planet is in trouble. God is giving us plenty of warning. But you know what we do with the warning is we take heed to it. There's nothing that we can do to stop it, but you know what we can do? Is we can make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. We can know that when Jesus Christ comes back, that he's coming back for me, that he's coming back for us. That our sins are forgiven, that our sins are dealt with. And when Jesus Christ comes back, that we're ready to go with him. Look with me in your Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul here tells us what it's going to be like. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Apostle Paul here tells us what it's going to be like also in the last days. And see if you can see this in the world around us at the moment. Second Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, when it talks about men being lovers of their own selves, it means that they won't care about anybody else. Anybody ever see that in the generation we live in? You know, it's amazing when you see some of the stuff that goes on. There was a case a few years ago about a 7-year-old girl was raped on a street in New York about 10 yards from the main road, and something like 15 people saw it and nobody done nothing. They just walked on by. People are lovers of themselves. They don't care what's going on around them. So in the last days, men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, always looking for stuff for me, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And blasphemers are people who blaspheme God. How many times have you seen that recently? People blaspheme the name of God just on a constant basis. From the time they wake up in the morning till the time they go to bed at night, it's just blaspheming God the whole time. Taking the name of Jesus in vain and so on. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. I think that's, you know, prevalent in our society. Children that are disobedient to parents won't do what they're told. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. That without natural affection is talking about sexuality. It's talking about that people don't have natural affection anymore. Now men are having affection for men, women are having affection for women, and so on. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. You know what's amazing in our generation? That, see, when people try to do good, people despise you for it. People despise you for it. Despisers of those that are good. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, watch the verse 5. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Do you know what's interesting about godliness? Is God, our God is a supernatural God, right? Jesus Christ, when he walked the earth, he performed miracles, signs and wonders, fed multitudes of people, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils. And so many churches today, and they're churches without power. They're churches in form only. They're churches that when you go into them, they mention the name of Jesus, but they've got no godliness. There's nothing godly about them. You go in on a Sunday morning, you stay for a period of time, and you leave and you go back to all the things that you were doing before you came in the first place. The Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But you know what it says? It says, from such turn away. In other words, have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with people who say that they are godly, but their actions prove otherwise. And you know, you will get loads of that. People who say they're godly, but their actions actually prove otherwise. By the way they carry on. By the things that they do. We are in the end times. Perilous times are upon us. We can see all these things being fulfilled in our generation. And all those things that we mentioned, there's not one of them that is not being fulfilled today. And this is one of the worst generations that we have had in recent history. One of the worst generations that we have had. No godliness in the world today. I want to look at a few things with you for a moment. Look with me in Revelation chapter 13. And you know, because of the way I'm doing this, you know, as I said, I'm not doing this really as a verse-by-verse teaching or whatever. I'm just going to take a few of these things just the way they came to me. And I want to talk to you first about, if you look with me in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. I want to talk to you firstly about money, about banking, about buying and selling. And you know, we're living in a generation where they've been trying to get rid of cash for a long, long time. They're trying to get rid of money. Have any ever heard about that? Trying to get rid of checks. Trying to do away with checkbooks. They've been telling us for the last 2 years that they're doing away with checkbooks, so you won't be able to write checks anymore. They're trying to do away with cash. They're trying to come up with ways, and that's why you have your credit card, and it's called chip and pin. And so you have your chip and pin, and you can use it online. You can use it all over the place. You can use it for different things. You can, now there's places you can go and you just swipe your chip and pin card. And they're trying to do away with cash. And the reason why they're trying to do away with cash is because they're trying to control people. They're trying to control what they spend. They're trying to control what they spend it on. But you know, the Bible has more to say about it than that. And so we can see this in our banking system at the minute. They're trying to control what we buy and what we sell. They're trying to keep tabs on us. And we see it, you know, as we said, with our bank cards. We can see it with our store cards. Some of you have maybe store cards for Tesco's or for some of the clothes shops and all the different things. And one of the things that they do is they're collecting all your information. Many of you, if you have a store card, and you go in and you buy stuff and you swipe it and you get points. And then you start getting emails or start getting letters offering you the very things that you bought. That's because they're keeping track of you. Keeping track of what you're doing. And the whole thing is being set up this way. One of the things that they've done as well is they started to chip everything. You've got chips in your cars. That means that there's a time coming, if you've got a modern car that's got a chip in it, and most of the modern cars do, it means that they can control your car. You see them doing this in America. If you're driving along the road and you're escaping from the police, they can turn off your car with a chip. Just turn it off. You're stuck in the road. Because they're trying to control people. In America at the minute, they're putting chips in your dustbins. And when you empty your dustbin and the dustbin goes to the dump, the whole thing is registered. When you lift up your dustbin, it registers on the side of the machine. And if you have something in your rubbish that you shouldn't have, you'll get a knock on the door and they'll tell you what you put in your dustbin. I mean, that's crazy. What they've started doing in America at the moment is there was a woman arrested about 6 months ago because she was collecting the rainwater off of the roof. Because in America, they have to pay water rates in some of the states. And they said because she was collecting the water off the roof, she wasn't paying water rates and she didn't own the water that was on the roof and she had to pay for it. And she was avoiding the government. I mean, I'm telling you, this thing is crazy. But where did you see where it's going? So no one will be able to buy or sell without having their verification. But look with me here in Revelation chapter 13 for a moment. I want to show you something. Revelation chapter 13. Look with me in verse 16. And he, this here is talking about the beast, or is talking about the Antichrist per se. The beast causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And so here it's talking about a mark. We call it the mark of the beast, but he's talking about a mark that will either go in your hand or will go in your forehead, and if you don't have it, you won't be able to buy and sell without it. But you know, they're doing that at the minute in several countries in the world. We see it in Sweden at the moment. They're called biometric chips, or RFID chips, radio frequency identification chips. And they're starting to chip people and put chips in their hands, and you can get the chip in your forehead. And you can search that again online. They've actually adverts out in America at the moment about how great it is to have a chip in your hand and all the different things you can do with it. You can access your bank account from it. You can actually open your front door with it without a key. You can open your car with it without a key. You don't need passwords for your internet anymore. You don't need passwords for anything. You don't need PIN numbers anymore. Everything is controlled by a chip. But the whole idea behind it is control. Because now they're able to control what you buy and what you sell. And there will be no more cash. And they're bringing out these RFID chips. Let me just show you one here. That screen mustn't be active, Sam, is it? But so they're bringing out these RFID chips and they're starting to put them in people's hands. And you can see it here. It's the same size as a grain of rice. And they're putting it in people's skin. You see where he has it there in his hand, just beside his index finger. But they've actually started putting them in here at the moment. And they're putting these chips in. And what they're actually trying to do is they're trying to sell this idea that we all need this chip in our skin. But let me just share this with you. There was a company in England just maybe about 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago. And they decided to go with the chip. And the whole idea was all the employees coming in, they just swipe their chip, the door opens and they go in. When they go to their photocopiers or when they go to their offices, they just swipe the chip and they're in. They can use the photocopier, they can get into their office, they can get paid, they get their wages that way. But there was a Christian man over there and he said, you know what, I don't believe it's right, I don't believe it's godly. And he said, I'm not taking the chip. Do you know what they did? They sacked him. And they said, if you don't take this chip, you can't work. But that's what the Bible says. The Bible says if you don't take the mark of the beast in your hand or your forehead, they said you can't buy or sell. Well, how many of you know if you don't have a job, you won't be able to buy or sell anyway? One of the things that they've brought out in America at the moment is they're setting this thing up, and they tried it in a couple of states, where if you don't get this chip in your hand, you can't claim your dole. You can't claim your pension. And so it's basically, you're on the dole, you're on your pension, well, you're not getting it anymore until you get the chip in your hand. Well, I'm not getting the chip. Well, tough. Getting no money then. Another thing that they started to do was, do you remember the Ebola? Was a couple of months ago. What they started to do was they started to put the chip in the Ebola vaccine. And when you went in to get the vaccine for the Ebola, you were actually being chipped without knowing it. They're actually talking about putting it in all these different vaccines at the moment. And even though you just go in for a vaccine, you come out with a chip and you don't even know you've got one. And they're starting to do this. They're starting to get underhanded. And they're saying that in America at the moment, what they've actually said is that they want every single person in America to have the chip by 2017. There's companies in Sweden at the moment, and all the companies, they're all getting the chip. All getting chipped. And it controls everything. And everybody thinks it's great, you know. If you have a chip, so you don't have to carry bank cards, don't have to remember your PIN, don't have to remember your keys, just swipe it. And they think it's a great thing, but you know, the end of it is control. Now, I don't know if this is the mark of the beast or not. That's why I put a little question mark on it. But if it's not, it's definitely the forerunner of it. Do you know what I mean? If it's not the mark of the beast, it's the forerunner of it, because that's the way it's going. Because the scripture says that you're going to get a mark either in your hand or in your forehead, and you won't be able to buy or sell without it. And this is the way it's going all over the world at the moment. And so, and then they're trying to do different things to try and make it appealable, if you want. I don't know if that's even a word, to us. They're trying to get to appeal to us and get us to want to have it. And so what they're saying at the moment is, we'll chip your child, and if your child goes missing, we'll be able to find them. Well, that's a great idea, isn't it? But you know, it's still part of the control system. Still part of the control. They're talking about chipping people that have allergies, people that have heart conditions. And so one of the adverts that they have in America at the moment is this guy gets rushed into the hospital. He's after having a heart attack. He's got allergies. And they get this biometric scanner and they scan his hand and it comes up all his information. And they said, this guy is allergic to this. We won't give him any. And then he's sitting up in the bed saying, if I didn't have that chip, I'd be dead today. That chip saved my life. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to make people think that this is a good idea. But the Bible says that it's not a good idea. The Bible says that when we get this, this will be the mark of the beast, and you won't be able to buy or sell without it, and we'll be under control of this world leader that's coming up. The Bible calls him the Antichrist, under the control of the Antichrist. And it says it in the next verse, verse 18, it says, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of man. His number is 666, basically. 600, 666. And so it will be the mark of the beast. All sounds good, doesn't it? But it's not good, because Jesus warned us against it in the Word of God. What's going to happen then if we don't take the chip? What's going to happen? Because people think, you know, I'll just tell them I don't want it. Well, they will trick you into having it. Because you know what else they're talking about? They're talking about when you go into the hospital to have a baby, the baby will come out with it. They're talking about if you have to go into the hospital for an operation, when you're under on the table, you will come out with the chip. And they were going to do everything that they can to make sure that you get it. And so it's going to be one of those things that you can't go near the hospital at all, because when you come out, you'll have the chip in you. They will put it into you. What's going to happen to those who don't have it? Look with me in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Look with me in verse 4. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. He says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. You know what it says here? It says there are going to be certain people who were, and the Bible here says, calls them Christians. But the scripture says that there's going to be certain people who won't worship the beast or receive his mark in their hand or their forehead, and the Bible says they'll be beheaded. They will be beheaded. And I remember reading this 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And you remember in the French Revolution, they made these guillotines. And they used to bring people out, and they used to bring them to the guillotine, and they used to cut their head off. Many of you remember that. And I used to think about all these guillotines that used to be set up where they cut people's head off. But you know what we've discovered in our generation? That's not working again, Sam, for whatever reason. There we go. There's a lot of beheadings going on at the moment in the Middle East. And they're not being done by guillotines. They're being done with knives. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but it's barbaric. And they just sit there and cut with a knife until your head comes off. Beheadings. And you know, this is not something that we would have even thought about 10 years ago. And yet it's commonplace. The Muslims actually released something that they said that so far that they have beheaded 100,000 people. 100,000 people. And they're bringing them out in rows like this. Coptic Christians in Ethiopia. And bringing them out and cutting their head off. 21 of them beheaded the other day. And that's what's going to happen for those who don't receive the mark of the beast. Which tells us where this mark of the beast is going to come from. Because we're waiting for our Messiah, Jesus. But the Muslims are waiting for their Messiah. They call him the Mahdi. And they said that the Mahdi is going to come shortly. And he's going to come riding on a white horse. And a white horse the rider on the white horse is the first of the four riders, the four horsemen. And he's going to bring war and death on the planet. And that's what they're waiting for. They're waiting for their Messiah, they call him, the Mahdi. And if he comes, if he is the Antichrist, then this will be the way that they will deal with people who don't take the mark of the beast. Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says those who don't take the mark of the beast were beheaded. And that's what we see going on in our world at the moment. What else is there going to be? The next thing there's going to be is the scripture talks about sexual immorality. Look with me in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. You know, it's amazing when we read some of these things, you know, because we read these things. Have you ever heard people say, and I've heard people say this for the last 30 years, but never have I seen it more than in our generation. People say sometimes, you know, I'm reading the Bible and it's like I'm reading the newspaper. Because the things that are going on in the Bible are the same things that are going on in the world around us. Well, that's never been more true of our generation. We're seeing things. The Bible talks about marks in our hands that we can't buy or sell without. If we don't get it, beheadings. And we see all these things starting to take place. And the end is near. But then he talks here about sexual immorality. And I want to talk about that for a moment. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 28. It said, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And he talks here about as it was in the days of Lot. Just the same way as it was in the days of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, what was Sodom and Gomorrah famous for? What was it famous for? It was famous for homosexuality. And that wasn't the only sin of Sodom. There were several other sins in Sodom, but that was one of them. And you know, how many of you know that that's what it's like in our generation? At the moment, we have the homosexual agenda. What's it called? LGBT agenda that's coming up at the moment. And you know, this agenda that's coming up is not a godly agenda. It is not a godly agenda. This is a sign of the times that we're living in. It's a sign of the times. And you know, this we talked about this morning, you know, the vote is coming up in a few days' time. And the people that we vote for, or some of the people that are up to be voted for, are all for this agenda. But you know, this is not just a homosexual agenda or an LGBT agenda. This is a political agenda. And what they're trying to do is, again, they're trying to bring in something that will control the people. But you know what will happen? If this agenda is passed, it will do away with Christian, or it will do away with godly families as we know them. It will do away with the family unit as we know them. And the Bible says that right from the very beginning, male and female, God made them. And God told them to be fruitful, to multiply, and to replenish the earth. And God's plan was a man and a woman and kids. And I was looking at this thing today, and it was amazing. just this caption. And as soon as I read it, I thought, it's ridiculous. And it was a caption that somebody put. He says, in the beginning, it wasn't Adam and Eve, it was Adam and Steve. Well, if it was Adam and Steve, none of us would be here because it would have ended right there. So it wasn't Adam and Steve, it was Adam and Eve. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. And that was God's design for a family. And this will be eroded because now what you will have is you will have kids with two daddies or two mommies. You will have homosexuals or lesbians who will be adopting children. Then what they will start to do is they'll start to infiltrate the schools. You will see it in the school books. They're talking at the moment about bringing in homosexuals and lesbians to teach the kids how to have homosexual sex. All this thing is all going on at the moment. And the vote is going to be this week on Thursday. And the people that we vote for, if they get in, if those people get in, they will bring in that homosexual agenda. It's coming in if these people get in. And the Bible says that it will get in. But you know what? I'd prefer if it was next year rather than this year. Amen. So this is what's going on at the moment. So pressure is mounting from the homosexual activist group for the legalization of homosexual marriages in every country. And there's certain other demands that go hand in hand in this. One of them is that homosexuals would get the same tax breaks as traditional families. That's not too bad. Another is that gay couples would be given equal rights to adopt children. Another demand is that homosexual family be taught in public schools as an alternative lifestyle. And then you will find things where you have things like the Boy Scouts, and they will have to have homosexual leaders. You will have things like the churches, and the churches will have to appoint a homosexual. If you've got a straight man, you're going to have a homosexual man. And the whole thing is just escalating. But the scripture says that it will. Let me just share with you just a few verses. I'll not do too many. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Sorry, Leviticus chapter 18 first. And then Leviticus chapter 20 then. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22. Let's see what the Bible has to say about this. It says in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 20, it says, you shall not lie with a man as with a woman. It is an abomination. Do not lie with a man the same way that you lie with a woman. It says it's an abomination. Look with me in chapter 20. And verse 13, chapter 20 and verse 13. It says, if a man also lie with a man, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. The scripture says here that if a man lies with a man the same way as he lies with a woman, it's an abomination, and the scripture says both of them shall be put to death. Well, we don't do that in our generation, because we live in a dispensation of grace. And there is grace for people. But the Bible says that it's not right. Don't lie with a man the same way as you lie with a woman. Look with me in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Look with me here in verse 26. It says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their woman did it change the natural use into that which is against nature. He's talking here about lesbians. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error that was meet. Look with me real quickly in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is the last one, just on this section. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Because I just want to show you something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look with me in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6:9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now he says here, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he's going to mention a whole lot of things that are unrighteous, right? Now listen to what they are. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And one of them there was the effeminate. And the word effeminate, we all know what an effeminate is. In the NIV, it just says homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we look at the homosexuals sometimes and we think, you know, they're so way out there. But you know what? In the midst of all the sins that are mentioned, homosexuality is in the middle of them. So it's not worse in a sense than the rest of them. It says that sinners will not inherit the kingdom of God. But I want you to notice what he says in the next verse. Verse 11, watch this. And such some of you were, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And he doesn't condemn them to a lost eternity. What he says is, in the Christian church in Corinth, some of them were like that. Some of them were murderers. Some of them were abusers. Some of them were fornicators. Some of them were adulterers. Some of them were homosexual. Some of them were effeminate. But you know what they did? They repented and they made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, and they were welcomed into the church and they were welcomed into the kingdom of God. And so he's not saying that homosexuals are all going to hell, but the same as anybody else, the same as anybody who's caught in sin, you need to repent. And when you repent of your sin, you're brought into the kingdom and there's a place in heaven for you. Because he said here that some of the Corinthians did all these things and they were saved. God saved them. So, let's go on for a moment because I know we're running out of time. Look with me in Revelation chapter 11. I want to talk about something else here. Revelation chapter 11. You know, in the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth, do you know what he did with it? What did he do with it? When he created the heaven and the earth, what did he do with it? He gave it to man. And he gave man, and we call it today, although the Bible doesn't say this, but he gave us what we call the earth lease. He gave us a lease on the earth until the time that he himself would come back. So we have what we call it the earth lease. But when he gave us the planet, he told us to look after it. Look after the planet. But you know, one of the things that's happening today is man is destroying the planet. But you know what? The Bible has something to say about people destroying the planet. How many of you knew that? It says it here in Revelation chapter 11. Let me show you. Revelation chapter 11. Look with me here in verse 18. It says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that they should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And God says here, he's going to destroy them that destroy the earth. You know, this is the only generation, really, that has the power to destroy the earth. If you go back generations, and what's the worst people could do? Shoot a few bow and arrows. Fire a few spears. Dig a few holes in the ground. People didn't have the ability to destroy the earth, but they do today. And you look at what's going on with the likes of Fukushima, that great nuclear disaster, and that's affecting the whole world at the moment. The atomic bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The pollution. All the stuff that's going on at the moment. All things that are killing the earth. But God says, you know what? God says the people who do that are going to pay for it. And I want to look at some things here. I think I need batteries in this. Look at this here. 37 million bees found dead in Ontario. That's just in Ontario, Canada. 37 million in one city. And bees are dying right across the planet. And they don't know what's killing them. Is it insecticides? They think maybe it might be insecticides. They think that it might be actually our cell phones, our mobile phones. It's killing something in their head that they're not able to find their way home. But whatever it is killing them, the bees are dying off all over the planet. 90% of the food that we eat is cross-pollinated by the bees. And if the bees are gone, it will completely wipe out our food source. There's very few things that we have that are not cross-pollinated. Very few. Something like 90 million monarch butterflies died in America. 90 million monarch butterflies died in America. I think I need some batteries for this. 20 million dead fish in Chile. Have any of you ever seen these before? All over the planet at the moment, like you have situations like this where fish are all dying. Wiping out the fish stocks in the world. All being wiped out. What's causing it? I don't know, probably pollution or whatever. But all being wiped out. And that's just in Chile alone, 20 million dead fish. 18 million blackbirds dead in Arkansas. Just in one town or one city again, 18 million birds just dropped dead. Millions of prawns and crabs washed up on a beach in Chile, all dead. And what's happening is people are destroying the planet. And they're doing all sorts of crazy things to destroy the planet. One of the things that they're doing at the moment, and they weren't able to do, is, you know, when you dig down into the Earth's crust, when you go down so far, they hit a thing called the mantle. And the mantle is a protective layer that's around the Earth's core. And they were trying to dig through it maybe 20 or 25 years ago. And every time they tried to dig through it, it was actually it was wearing the head of the drill. They couldn't get the drill through it. But now they've invented this new drill. And what they're trying to do, they're smaller than that, John. They're tiny ones. Get some out of the remote maybe outside. But they've invented this new drill bit, and they reckon they're going to be able to drill through the Earth's mantle and find out what's down there. Leave it alone. If God wanted you to know what was down there, he would have told you. And you don't know what they're going to do to the planet. Do you know what I mean? You don't know what's going to happen when they drill through this mantle and get down into the Earth's core. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And what they're trying to do continually is they're trying to destroy the Earth. But God says that he will hold them accountable for it. Thanks. Somebody left on my wee pointer the last time. So people destroying the planet, but God said that they'll pay for it. Look at this here, 100,000 bats died in Australia. 100,000 bats died in Australia. Animals all dying around the world. Crazy. This is what the Bible says, that people will destroy the planet, and never so much more as in our generation. But you know what? We see massive industry, polluting the air with chemicals, polluting the water with oil and other toxins, destroying the forests and so on. But even apart from that, now they've got nearly every one of the major countries in the world have all got nuclear technology. As we said, the Fukushima disaster and all they reckon that has gone around the seas all over the world, which may be one of the reasons for all the fish dying. But you know what? The Bible prophesied it. Again, just another sign of the times that we're living in. We're living in the end times. All these things just point us to the end times. Look back with me in Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at another one. Matthew chapter 24. Look with me here in verse 4. Matthew 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Look down with me in verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And you know, one of the things that he talks about here is he talks about false Christs and false deception. Now, there are two types of false Christ, if you like. Let me just say this. We see people going around, and we see several of them in the world today, and they're going around telling everybody, I'm Christ, I'm the Messiah. Now, what baffles me is that people are following them. People are following them. And so you get people going around saying that they're Christ, that they're the Messiah, and people are following them. But you have a more subtle one, and the more subtle one is the one that I would like to be careful of. You have people going around saying that Jesus is the Christ, but their intention is to deceive many. And you see, they say something that sounds right. Oh yeah, I believe Jesus is the Christ. But what they're doing is they're deceiving people. And Jesus said here, it says in the last days, people will going around saying that I am the Christ, saying that Jesus is the Christ, and deceive many. Well, what's the answer to being deceived? How do you guard against being deceived? You know, the only way that you can guard against being deceived is to know your Bible. Is to know your Bible and read your Bible. And that's one of the reasons, again, why we turn to the scriptures. Look at this scripture. Look at that scripture. Look at this one over here. Look at that one over there. Do you know why? Because when you're looking at the scripture, you're not being deceived. And you go to churches today and there's no Bible to be seen anywhere. And you ask them about reading the Bible. Oh, don't be reading that. So you don't want to read that. Do you know why? Because when you read it, you'll find out that they're deceiving you. You'll find out that they're deceiving you. And what we don't want is we don't want man say so. I'm not interested in what you believe. I'm only interested, can you teach me what God said? Do you understand? And there's people today, and they're standing up, and they're saying that Jesus is the Christ, but they're still deceiving many. And you have people standing up, and let me show you this one here. Anyone ever heard of him? Son Myung-moon. He claims to be the Christ. He claims to be the Messiah. He's got a massive following. A massive following. And someone that should know better, Bishop Eddie Long, last year, some guest fella came into his church and crowned him as king and lifted him up on a throne and put a robe around his shoulder, and he gave him this menorah scroll or a mezuzah scroll and put it in his arms and called him King Eddie Long. And you know, afterwards he said, I didn't know they were going to do it, but even if he didn't, he should have said, hold on a minute, you're not doing that. Because you know, in the scripture, and particularly in the book of Revelation, twice John went to bow down before an angel. You know what the angel said? Don't bow down to me, I'm just a servant. And people are being deceived, and people are sitting under that kind of thing. And the only way that we can avoid being deceived is go back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Now, does this mean that we can't trust people who claim to be the man of God? Can we not trust anyone then who says they're a man of God? Well, you know how you trust them is by what they teach you about the Word of God. If they're teaching you the Word of God, you can trust them. If they're not teaching you the Word of God, don't trust them. Do you understand? Because what are they teaching you? If they're not teaching you the Word of God, they're teaching you just hearsay. Do you understand? I told you the story years ago about, I was at this missionary convention and we got into this huge big debate. So we started this debate and there was two sides, and one fella stood up and he said, I like to believe. And your man said, you shut up and sit down. And your man says, but this is a debate, I want to have my say. And your man says, right, go ahead. I like to believe, he said, you shut up and sit down. He said, I thought this was a debate. He says, let me have my say. And your man says, right, go ahead. He says, I like to believe. He said, you shut up and sit down. And your man said to him, why do you keep telling me to shut up and sit down? He said, I don't care what you like to believe. What does the Word of God say? Tell me what the Word of God says. Because we like to believe all kinds of stuff. There's plenty of things in the Bible that we would like to believe are not true. But you know what? You don't get to decide what's true, and I don't get to decide what's true. We believe what God tells us. To understand, and that's the only way that we can not be deceived, is go back to what the Word of God says. Stand on what the Word of God says. Don't be going on your feelings. Don't be going on your emotions. Don't be being led by what your head is telling you, or even what your heart is telling you. Be led by what the Word of God says, and let that be our guide. We're in Matthew chapter 24. Look with me in verse 7. It says, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences. And you know, that's one of the things that we see going on in the world today. There's famines, there's people dying of starvation every day of the week. And you know what's even worse than that? There's something like 870 million people on the planet today, right now, that are starving. 870 million. It's something like 1 in 9 people on the planet is starving right now. Famines going on all over the world. But you know what's even worse than that? They've got huge reserves of food in Europe that they could send, and they won't send them. Do you know why? Because of something else that the Bible says. The Bible says in the last days perilous times will come, and men will be covetous and men will be greedy. And you see, if we take all that grain and if we send that to Africa and send it to one of those poor countries, the price of grain will go down, and we don't want that. So what they do is they bring it out and set fire to it and burn it. And as they're burning it, there's children dying in Africa and other countries in the world. 870 million people in a famine situation at the moment. And you know what it takes? They reckon it will, and because of the poor economy, they reckon something like 15 pence a day will sustain these people. These are the world disasters for last year in 2014, and you can see them. I didn't count them, there's too many. But they're all over, all these different world disasters that are going on at the moment. Famines and earthquakes and pestilences and floods, and some of them natural disasters, some of them man-made disasters, but going on all over the world at the moment. Then he talks about earthquakes in diverse places. And we know we see earthquakes all over the place at the moment. I don't know if I have that one on earthquakes. I know I did one on earthquakes. I don't know what I did with it, but I had one on earthquakes. And there was something like, well, let me just say this. How many earthquakes do you think were on the planet today? Anybody give me a guess? Anybody any idea how many earthquakes was on the planet today? Well, when I read the thing this morning, I read it at 9 o'clock this morning, and by 9 o'clock this morning, there was 86 earthquakes already took place by 9 o'clock this morning on the planet. And that's just escalating. They reckon there's something like 38,000 earthquakes on the planet last year. Just an escalation of earthquakes. But you know, the Bible says so. Worldwide earthquakes. And then the Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars. Actually, that was from 9 o'clock this morning. That's where I put it. I forgot where I put it. That was at 9 o'clock this morning. 86 earthquakes this morning only. That's how many of them were going on. Then the next one is wars and rumors of wars. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. But you know, one of the things that people say is that, well, that's not really a sign of the times because wars have been going on for centuries, but not like in this generation. You know, the wars have been getting worse and worse. First World War, Second World War. But you know what's going on at the moment is now they're building nuclear weapons. And they can send a nuclear missile. They reckon if they hit America with two nuclear missiles, one in the north and one in the south, it would wipe out the whole of America. Just two missiles. And we've never had the ability to do that before, except in this generation. Number of countries involved in war today, 65. 65 countries involved in war today. There's 162 countries on the planet, and only 11 of them are living in peacetime. All kinds of conflicts going on in all the rest of them. Number of militias or guerrilla warfare, separatist groups involved in these wars, 638. Wars, rumors of wars. And then it talks about here in verse 14. It says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end will come. And you know, this is really the first generation that has the ability to preach the gospel of the kingdom in all the world. Because you know what we did in the past is we sent out missionaries, and that's great, and we should be sending out missionaries. But you know, with the technology that we have today, we can stand here. These are being videoed. I put these on the internet, and I have friends in Australia that contact me all the time. Every time I put up a sermon, they're contacting me. They're talking to me about it. They're telling me about it. They're asking me questions all the time. Because this is the first generation where we have global television, we have satellites, we have mobile phones, we have radios, we have internet, we have email. This is the first generation that has the ability to get the whole gospel out into the whole world in our generation. But the Bible says this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. It says, and then the end will come. And this is our generation. Our generation is a generation that sees all these things, the wars, the famines, the pestilences, the earthquakes, see the gospel going out into all the world, see the gospel reaching tribes and reaching places that it's never been in before. And these are just the signs. Look with me in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 33, and we'll wind down here. We'll just finish. It says, so likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Now, we don't know when it is. What's near? You know, the apostles 2,000 years ago said it was near. Well, if it was near 2,000 years ago, how many of you know it's near now? But he says, the generation that sees these signs, know that it is near, that it is at the door. And it's very close. So what are we to do knowing the fact that we're near, knowing the fact that the end is near? Well, the first thing that we're to do, the Bible says, is repent of our sin. Repent of our sin. Turn to God and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. Ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. And as soon as you have done that, as soon as you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, as soon as you know that your sin is dealt with, that your sin is forgiven, as soon as you know that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin, you know that you have a home, you have a place in heaven. And that's you taken care of. But you know what we need to do after that is we need to warn others. We need to warn others. And it doesn't mean that you have to run out and shout at people and scream at people and wear billboards that says the end is near or all the rest of it. But you know what it does mean? It means that when you meet somebody, when you meet your neighbor, and your neighbor says something to you like, it's awful, all those beheadings out there at the moment. Yeah, the end is near. You know, the Bible talks about that. The Bible talks about in the end days that Christians are going to be persecuted and going to be beheaded. Somebody says, boy, there's another war. Look at all the wars that's going on. Israel's talking about attacking Iran at the moment and hitting them with a nuclear bomb. Yep, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says the end is near. And use these things. We know what's going on. Use these things to be a witness to others and tell them. Whenever somebody says, you know, boy, did you see all the fish that are dying on the planet? See all the birds that are dropping out of the air? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says when you see these things happening, you know the end is near. And then they say, what do we do? What you need to do is come to faith in Jesus. Make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior. Ask him to come into your life to take away your sin. So that when the end does come, that you are ready for heaven. That you're ready for a relationship with Jesus. Because you know what the scripture says? The scripture says that when Jesus Christ comes back, it says that people are going to go to him and are going to call him Lord, Lord. And say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out devils? And Jesus will say, away from me, I never knew you. And so the one thing that we need to do, firstly tonight, is we need to make sure that we know Jesus. That Jesus Christ is our Lord, he's our Savior. That he's taken away our sin and that we have assurance of heaven. That's the first thing. And after that, then we take these things and we use them as a tool to preach the gospel to others, to tell them when we meet people, tell them about the end, tell them that the end is coming. And then when they ask you what to do about it, tell them they need to get right with God. They need to know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. They need to give their life to him. Amen. Glory to God. Let's just leave it there tonight. Let's stand to our feet.